Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In a few minutes, I'm going to be introducing John Hrankowski to you. John is a part of the USS Liberty crew that was attacked by the Israelis on June the 8th, 1967. And John hails from Rochester, New York. We're going to continue chatting about some of the things that we've been looking at in recent days and weeks with Gary Brummett, and with Commander Dave Lewis, and with Phil Turney. Talking with John Hrankowski today is a continuation of this project that we have here on this show of really looking more closely at this USS Liberty event from 40 years ago, not simply in terms of what happened then, but what it means for our situation now. And that's in conjunction with what Mark Glenn is doing at the American Free Press, where he is writing a series of articles on this subject, including his most recent effort where he encountered conversation with Captain Ward Boston, who was the chief legal counsel to the U.S. Navy's Board of Inquiry when it came to supposedly looking into this whole USS Liberty question. But before we bring John on, I want to continue with Daniel in British Columbia. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yes, thanks, Mark. Just sure. To finish, the author's name is George Lakoff. Lakoff.
Okay.
Now, just to finish the last few sentences, he says, "And we, Americans, were not raised to think in terms of alternative world views, dash, that our countrymen and even our next-door neighbors might see the world in a radically different way. In short, we were not raised to see certain deep truths that are essential to our freedom. Transcending the ideas that we were raised with, dash, growing to see more is the cognitive work of achieving freedom."
Interesting. The cognitive work of achieving freedom.
Yes, is to transcend the ideas that with which we were raised.
Yes, well, you know, it's interesting. I think that's a lifelong process, isn't it?
Yes, of course. As you well know, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I look at I look at my own belief system currently, and
right.
At one level, I think it is a continuation and a further development of the deepest ideas and concepts that I was raised with as a child. But at another level, I'm taking a look at some of my ideas and saying, you know, if I'm really understanding those concepts correctly, they might be leading me in a completely different direction on some subjects from what I would have thought would have been the case 30 years ago. And then the other thing, of course, is this whole issue of being constantly open to new ideas. And that's one of the things regard to maybe getting Mr. Lakoff on the show that would be fun is to sit down and to chat about some of these things, because
I think you'd find them fascinating.
Well, you know, if you get a chance, Daniel, just to refresh my memory on this, go to my website at markdankoff.com.
Right.
There's a provision there to send me an email. You'll see a place where it says contact Mark or whatever, and send me a reminder on this gentleman, Lakoff, and I'll see what I can do about getting him on.
Okay, great. Now, I'll just finish. That would be fantastic. I just want to finish by saying, you know, I haven't heard Rita lately, from Rita. And I was thinking she could almost be a spinoff from your show. You know, she could have her own program on RBN.
Well, one thing I have to say about Rita, that's, sometimes the forcefulness of her argumentation is
overwhelming.
Overwhelming, but she's got a very definitive, honest belief system, and I admire somebody who says what she thinks, whatever the consequences, and that's meant to be a compliment to her today if she's out there listening to this. Thanks, Daniel. God bless you. We'll be back with John Hrankowski of the USS Liberty when Mark Dankoff's America returns.
That coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific. And it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
From San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is John Hrankowski, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. John hails from Rochester, New York. He, too, is a part of the USS Liberty crew that was attacked by Israel in what, in my judgment, was a premeditated, deliberate attack on that vessel for reasons that we've already covered to some extent in conversations already with Gary Brummett and with Commander Dave Lewis and with Phil Turney. I'm having John Hrankowski on the show today because this USS Liberty story is one that is not going to go away. I've made a commitment to continuing to cover it with this show on RBN. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press, who will be with me tomorrow, by the way, on this show for 2 hours, has started a series at AFP covering this USS Liberty tragedy. And in the first installment of that series, Mark is talking about his interview with Captain Ward Boston, who was the chief legal counsel to the U.S. Navy's Board of Inquiry that looked into the USS Liberty incident. And now we're finding out all these years later that Captain Ward Boston is admitting that he was ordered to cover up the truth about what happened. John, how are you, sir? You there, John?
Are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Good.
It's easier to just forget the H on my last name. It's Rankowski, so don't try
okay.
to... That makes it hard.
it's Rankowski. Well, that is a lot easier. Thank you, John.
Right.
Listen, in regard to your role in the events of that day, June the 8th, 1967, John, yes. If you would take us back to that time, tell us a little bit about yourself and just what unfolded before your very eyes, both that day and in the immediate aftermath.
Will do, Mark. We knew where we were. We knew that the Israeli war was going on, and we were in international waters, well off of international waters, about 13 miles out. Normal international waters are 3 miles out. Our course was to go back and forth and steam, and what we were told is that day is we were there to unload Americans if they wanted to get out of Israel because of the war. That's basically what we were told. That's what I remember. But we had lunch. We had a general quarters drill that day on June 8th, and we did our drill and. I was an engineer. I worked with the boilers. As a matter of fact, Gary Brumman and I both worked together down in the boiler room. And our GQ station, our general quarter station, was down in a boiler room. So after the drill, I came topside and got a little fresh air. Within 3 minutes of being topside, they came in shooting from estimate 2.5 miles away. I mean, it knocked me down, killed the guy next to me, I was not prepared for that, not at all. And they had no idea who was doing this. There were, you know, I could not see the planes. They were that quick. But talking to the guys that were topside, they said they were unmarked. So I proceeded down. I picked myself up and dusted myself off a bit and looked. I'd got hit in a little bit with some shrapnel back of my head and on my knees and that, but still not enough, you know, that's going to sideline me. So I ran down and back to the GQ station, and we started to light off number 2 boiler. And in a process, Gary had been down there. Everybody had come together, and we just started working as a team. And I remember trying to get this darn boiler lit off, and it was horrendous. And getting reports down from the bridge that it was like nonstop up there. These guys were just back and forth with these jets. Pummeling us like crazy. And after about it seemed like forever, but it probably was about 20 minutes to 25 minutes, it stopped and kind of got a breather, and within a matter of moments it started up again. Other planes, slower planes, came in and they started dropping bombs on us and napalm. Because they already had opened the ship up with rockets, and I think the napalm, well, they thought was going to flush us out. If they would have knocked the canisters on the ship and have the napalm drop through the rocket holes in that, but it didn't happen. They were pretty lousy shots with their napalm. Most of it landed on the starboard side and into the water. Some of it landed on the ship, but it didn't do that what they wanted. So after probably around a half hour of that, everything subsided again. And next word we get while we're working to secure this boiler and get it going, captain comes over and says, prepare for a torpedo attack starboard side. And we all looked at each other down below, and usually, we were always taught during World War II that that's where they would head, right for the boilers, because they would crack the ship open, any torpedo. And we just kept doing our work, and we were getting reports. The first torpedo went away from us, second one went under us, and finally the fifth one that they shot hit us and lifted us out of the water and put the ship back down.
So when you, you know, just I'm just trying to picture this.
Sure.
What you're saying is that the impact of that torpedo that finally hit on the starboard side.
You bet.
It was just incredible. And you're talking about literally lifting the vessel up out of the water and then right back down into the water.
Actually did. Actually just, did. And we thought it hit underneath us because we have the boiler, two boilers that set against each other, facing each other, and below it are all bilges where water can go in, and this is where we thought it hit. But we didn't realize it was the next compartment over where all the communication technicians were. And this the concussion was that big that it bowed out one of the bulkheads, which is a wall, and we kept lifting plates up to see where the heck this thing had hit, because the concussion was unbelievable. It just picked the ship right up and put it back down again. And then she started leaning, listing to the starboard side, started going, you know, 3 degrees, 4 degrees, and it got almost to 10 degrees and kind of stopped. And through this all, we still did our work down there in the dark, and they'd knocked our generators off, and, you know, we were hearing reports of people that were killed topside, people that were wounded, and these the Israelis, we didn't know they were Israelis then, they were picking people off that were trying to help other people. We got a word from Lloyd Painter that when we were to abandon ship, the captain had finally says, we're going to go over. This thing is going to go. So we all go topside to, well, we, at least we got to the mess decks, and Lloyd Painter just secured the door so we couldn't go up topside. He had just seen the Israelis shoot our three life rafts up. Last of the three good life rafts, the rest of them were all shot up anyways. So they're, not only did they break the Geneva Convention, they were ready to kill us all if we would have got topside, and they were killing anybody that was up topside. They were picking them off with their 45s, and they were picking them off with their small armament on the torpedo boats. Kind of was like them circling the ship and just shooting fish in a barrel, you know?
Well, I'm going to ask you something at this point, John, just out of curiosity. At that juncture,
yeah.
Did you find yourself simply being so busy with the things that you had to do to survive that you didn't give the whole question of fear a larger thought? Or was it in the forefront of your mind at that particular point that you were not only scared, but that maybe that was going to be the end of your life?
I think that's the last thing you said. Yeah, it's probably what happened. You know, we had drilled and trained so much for something like this to happen, for some kind of an emergency to happen. And Captain, because of the way the ship was, it was a communication ship, it was a spy ship, and we had not really much to do other than keep it clean and keep this thing running and make sure we had electricity. So the men aboard that took care of those spaces had proper electricity, you know, and that was our job. And it was so boring and mundane that the captain every day would drill us. So thank God that he did that. We really were prepared for this. But while we were doing this, of course, here were 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids, and we knew we were about to get it. And I remember, as they call the torpedo attacks out, all of us down below, huddling around the boiler, because we had an officer that was a Mustanger. He was in World War II and became an officer after being a White Hat. And he had told us that he'd been on two ships that were torpedoed. Hello.
We'll be back.
Go ahead.
Hold your thought right there, and we'll come right back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with John Rankowski of the USS Liberty to have John recount his memory of the events of that day. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by John Rankowski of Rochester, New York. John is recounting what happened to him personally on June the 8th, 1967, when Israel, in a most premeditated fashion, attacked the USS Liberty. As I have mentioned previously on this show, there are some excellent resources online that will give us some additional context with which to evaluate these eyewitness accounts. James Ennis, of course, who was present that day on the USS Liberty, as opposed to the Washington Report for Middle East Affairs, or WRMIA. This goes back to June of 1993, June or July of 1993, and it's entitled "The Assault on the USS Liberty Still Covered Up After 26 Years." We can now add 14 years and say 40 years. And then, of course, Eric Margolis of the Toronto Sun posted a story in May of 2001 entitled "The USS Liberty, America's Most Shameful Secret." You can also find that piece at lewrockwell.com. So the Eric Margolis story and the James Ennis story make for very sobering reading in conjunction with what Mark Glenn has written this week for the American Free Press on the front page of the April 9th edition, where Mark talks about his interview with Captain Ward Boston. John, let's take it back to where we were when we went to the commercial break. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Not to belabor this point anymore. It was we all huddled because we knew we were going to get it eventually. We all huddled around this boiler because what happens is when a torpedo hits a boiler, it's like an atomic explosion. You got superheated steam, and it'll kill you instantly. There is virtually no pain. This is what our officer told us.
What exactly happens? Not to be morbid, but what happens?
It's like one huge big explosion, and you're right next to it, so there's no pain involved. I mean,
exactly. So the percussion,
it just goes. Yeah.
Yeah, just the percussion and the incendiary character of it just caused the person to evaporate, basically.
Just about, and that's basically what we did. Is we huddled around that boiler and we waited for it to happen, and it did not happen, thank God. But the guys in the front forward of us and on duty, 25 of them got killed unnecessarily. It was just terrible, terrible, terrible. And we tried to go topside when they went abandoned ship and couldn't get out because they had already shot up our life raft. So we all went back down to our general quarter stations and relit the boilers back off and waited for the captain to get us out of there by his directions, and we finally did get out. And that was about two and a half hours of a story. The attack didn't last all the 2.5 hours, but the incident did, two and a half hours. And by the time we got our heads collected, it was like 3 to 4 hours. And we had it was terrible. I mean, we couldn't get a correct head count. Nobody knew who was killed. Officers were trying to get a head count for the Sixth Fleet, and the Sixth Fleet was like 350-400 miles away from us. And then 9 minutes into the attack, I'm sure you heard this from Gary and the rest. 9 minutes into the attack, the Sixth Fleet got word that we were getting it. And they launched planes. As a matter of fact, they launched two different sets of planes. And they were called back by the White House. I guess two sets were called back by Robert McNamara and the other one set by Johnson, President Johnson. And has been verified by Admiral Geis, who told that to Dave Lewis, who was one of my shipmates, and I'm sure he had told you that. And for years, Dave kept that a secret until the Admiral died. Admiral Geis died.
Refresh my memory on Geis. What was Admiral Geis' exact position at that time, as you understand it, John?
I can't give you a specific other than he was part of the tactical force on the Aircraft America. So
okay,
he was an admiral and he was part of that tactical force, but he knew, you know, there was a landline, and anybody that tells you there was no landlines back then are out of their minds, especially one of our biggest naysayers who wrote a book against us, that rotten guy
AJ Crystal.
That's what he did was terrible. Shouldn't even be an American citizen. But I guess he's got a right, being an American citizen, to write whatever he wants. And he did, and I don't want to get on that right yet. But we were told that that the Sixth Fleet they were there to help us. And actually, there were one plane was on its way to go to Cairo. Oh, go ahead.
John, hold it right there, and we'll come back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with John Rankowski of Rochester, New York, and his experiences on June the 8th, 1967, is a member of the USS Liberty. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website EarnMoneyAtHome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by John Rankowski of Rochester, New York. John is one of the survivors of the USS Liberty, which was viciously attacked in a premeditated fashion by Israel on June the 8th, 1967. That's not simply my verdict as a layperson who has evaluated the published evidence. That was the verdict of United States Secretary of State Dean Rusk. That was the verdict of Admiral Moore, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That was the verdict of three separate CIA reports, including one which indicated that the order to attack the Liberty, knowing exactly what it was, came from Israeli General Moshe Dayan. And some of this stuff I'm going to be covering again tomorrow when Mark Glenn and I get together for our weekly Friday conversation on this show. I've mentioned that Mark has a piece for the American Free Press of April 9th entitled USS Liberty Bombshell, a retired U.S. Naval advocate, Captain Ward Boston, now admits that he was ordered to whitewash the Israeli murder of 34 sailors. Boston was the senior legal counsel for the military inquiry, and he is now saying, yeah, they told me that I had to cover this thing up in conjunction with the return of the scrambled fighters that were initially sent by the Saratoga and the USS America, and in conjunction with the aftermath of this attack. This is a most sordid story that we will continue to cover, not simply because of the appreciation that we have for the men who went through this terrible ordeal, but also we have to consider what this continues to mean for who and what it is that controls the foreign policy of this country. John, take it away with where we were before the commercial break.
All right, Mark. What I was trying to say is that the last launch evidently was off the America and supposedly had a nuke bomb on it, and it was on its way to Cairo to blow Cairo up. Cairo. I don't know why. I don't have the foggiest reason why, but I've heard that from many different people. And first of all, as a matter of fact, I just heard this like 3 weeks ago. I was in a supermarket here in Rochester, and one of the fellows from that served on the USS America, he's seen my coat, and I have the USS Liberty emblem on it. He says, "You guys really got it." And I asked him the question. I said, "Did you see the launches?" He says, "Yep." I said, "Did you see them come back?" He says, "Yep." I says, "Was there a nuke?" He says, "Yes." He says he was aboard. He knew the call letters for the nuke. He knew what they looked like. And I was amazed that they were actually going to do this. But thank God they didn't. But that was part of the overall look of what happened to the Liberty. United States left us alone to fend on our own. We turned this ship out and headed out to sea, and 16 hours later we caught up with the fleet, and Admiral Kidd and Admiral or Captain Boston came aboard ship and started their investigation, so-called investigation.
You know, one of the things I've often wondered about, John, I think of the late Admiral Geis,
right,
and what he shared with Commander Dave Lewis, which, of course, you've mentioned again here.
Right.
And then I think of Captain Ward Boston and what he is now telling us happened, what he's told Mark Glenn happened in this latest edition of the American Free Press.
Right.
And as I was mentioning earlier on the show, Mark Glenn and Ward Boston were interviewed by Dr. Hesham Talawi on currentissues.tv, which people can still see online. And I wonder, because I know something about military culture, although I did not grow up or did not serve in the military, I grew up as the son of an Air Force colonel. And I think of all of the honorable people that I have known at a very high level in the United States Air Force through my dad. And I would have no doubt that the same culture would be there with the Navy. When I think of people like Admiral Geis and Captain Ward Boston, presumably very honorable people dedicated to their country, dedicated to supporting the guys that are out there on the front lines, so to speak, I wonder what this must have done to them and what it's done ongoingly in the case of Captain Boston, who's still alive.
Right.
In regard to being put in the untenable position that they were put in regard to being ordered basically to cover up something that they knew was wrong, or in the case of Admiral Geis, to have these fighters stand down that had been deliberately scrambled from the Saratoga and from the America to help you guys. I can't imagine what it would be like to live with that.
Well, that's true. I've often thought that Admiral Geis really did the right thing, a very manly thing to do, and just so the crew eventually would not feel remiss that, you know, they tried. They actually tried to help us, but that word came from up high, and it wasn't the command. It wasn't Admiral Engen or the captain of the American or Joe Tully, captain of the Saratoga. It was not their fault for not getting to us. They tried, and I give them a lot of credit for confiding in Dave Lewis and letting us know after the man died. And Captain Boston, you probably would have been quiet if it wasn't for A.J. Crystal's book and the lies that came out and the words that he put in Captain Boston's mouth that he never said. And Captain Boston was mad. He was mad as heck. And he came out and he told it like it was. He says he's had enough, too, after so many years that he wanted this story to come out and at least help us guys try to heal.
Yes. Well, you know what? To me, I, of course, until beginning to research this story with the help of Mark Glenn and Mike Piper and a couple of other people,
right.
I knew not all that much about what had truly happened that day on June the 8th, 1967.
Right.
But this Crystal story is an absolutely fascinating and demonic angle on this whole thing. For the listeners who have not heard Gary Brummett and have not heard Commander Dave Lewis and Phil Turney on this, this guy, Jay Crystal, is a Jewish United States bankruptcy judge based in Florida, and apparently he made 1.13 separate trips to Israel in order to produce a book on the subject of the attack on the USS Liberty, which was obviously designed to completely exonerate Israel from any moral responsibility in regard to a deliberate attack. I was reading something online about the fact that I believe it was in 2003 or 2004 that this guy Crystal showed up at the National Security Agency's Cryptological Museum out there near Fort Meade and had an autograph signing party for this book. And as I look at it, just on the basic facts of the case, Crystal, Jay Crystal, this U.S. bankruptcy court judge, was A, not present on the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. Crystal, by his own admission, is a quote-unquote amateur historian. Crystal never had any kind of a combat position in the United States Navy or elsewhere. He has absolutely no credentials, not only as a historian or a military man, but as an intelligence analyst. But he suddenly turns up writing what some people attempt to say is the authoritative book on this matter, in which he contradicts not only the eyewitnesses who were there, and basically in several instances, I guess Commander Dave Lewis said on the air that he had actually considered suing this guy for libel. That's just how bad it was.
Right. He never talked to us.
Yeah, I mean it's like it's kind of a Warren Commission situation, isn't it? I mean, where you have a commission appointed to investigate the death of the President of the United States,
right.
and some of the people who were the closest eyewitnesses on Elm Street that day when Kennedy was shot were either never called before the commission or discovered after they had just talked to the FBI, the things that they had said were either omitted or totally twisted that did not reflect at all what they actually indicated.
Right.
You know, when you think about this whole business, it is absolutely mind-blowing to me. And of course, it calls into question. I'm going to say it on the air. You know, this guy, Crystal, does not have the credentials to be doing this. What he is saying flies in the face, not simply the eyewitness accounts, but the former United States Secretary of State Rusk, Admiral Moore, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, ex-chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and three separate CIA reports all corroborate the eyewitness accounts. And here this U.S. bankruptcy court judge from Florida, who is a Jew and has very close ties, obviously, to the government of Israel, is writing what I think on a prima facie basis could be seen as complete bunk. This to me, and I'm sorry I'll mention it on the air, raises a question. Nobody wants to touch this with a 10-foot pole, but I'll raise it. It raises a question to me about this whole dual loyalty thing.
He wrote this book, as far as I'm concerned. He wrote this book as a good defense attorney would defend a client. He used the tricks of his trade, which is the English language. You know when to put a verb in, know when to put a vowel in, know when to put an adjective in, and that makes a story turn his way. And he was so very crafty in doing it. I mean, it was amazing how this man did this book. And to get away without talking to Jim Ennis, who did most of the research, not talking to us survivors. And if anybody survived, I think he only had one survivor agree with him. Only one. And I'm not even going to mention a name. We don't mention his name because we've never talked to this man.
Yes.
But other than that, this man, like you said, I wouldn't give him no credentials. He doesn't have any credentials. And he did this as a kind act towards Israel to put doubt in what we are saying, the people who were there. And to chastise us for not only talking about it, and to put doubt after 40 years, we don't know what we're talking about. Recollections can't be recollected after 40 years. Well, you tell that to some World War II veteran after 60, 70 years, and he'll spit in your eye because they remember. We remember exactly what happened.
I mean, exactly, exactly.
And it was horrible. And And Captain Boston, I mean, he had to eat his soul away for all these years. I'm sure he feels good talking about it. I remember talking with Admiral Kidd and how tough he was on us. And he didn't want to be, but he had to do it. And there are 65 reports that I gathered up during that day from engineering spaces and from other spaces for guys that couldn't talk, that we didn't have time to talk to Admiral Kidd. We wrote down on a manila form, you know, on our own words. Those things are gone. Never entered. The logs were changed. They were rewritten. I mean, this whole thing, I mean, it's got not only a life of its own, it has continued, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinions too, to be a black mark on Israel and our government, but the way of doing business in the Middle East that takes what they're
Absolutely.
Doing today.
Absolutely, because if
I feel that way of being a participant in the Liberty, and it just seems to me after fighting for 40 years, that seems to me that that's what has happened.
Yeah, and presumably, if they would lie about this, as my father would say, they'd lie about anything.
Absolutely.
Yes, and one of the things I wanted to mention to our listeners on the air, and maybe as a point of encouragement for you, John, and as well for Gary and for Phil and for Commander Lewis, Mark Glenn mentioned to me that the American Free Press is going to be doing an in-depth investigation on Jay Crystal.
Good.
This is going to be a part of their series on this for AFP, and I tell you, it needs to happen because I just, on the basis of what has been explained to me and what I have read about Crystal, it is quite clear that something is wrong, and aside from the fact that he wasn't there, that he contradicts the eyewitnesses, he contradicts Rusk and Moore, he contradicts three separate CIA reports, but on a prima facie basis, his motivations would come into any thinking person's mind in terms of questioning it, because he relied for his account on the very people who stand as the accused.
True.
So the whole thing is simply absurd on its face, and again, the implications, I think, of this are just monstrous.
They have gotten away. He especially have gotten away with the with saying that after we had our peace and talk against him, and any talk against him or against Israel was always construed as anti-Semitic. You know that's what's going to happen when your people write about him or even try to call him. Oh, you're anti-Semitic, this and that. Well, it doesn't fly now anymore since I would say it doesn't fly anymore since this thing with Imus. I mean, people are going to scrutinize now a lot closer what people are saying. I mean, people are going to, you know, this business about the anti-Semitic and all this other garbage, that's been going on for years about us, and we are not anti-Semitic.
Exactly.
The crew is not anti-Semitic. We want the truth to get out. And it's been such an easy thing for them to say, and so for the papers in general, and for our congresspeople to pick it up and say, well, there's a bunch of anti-Semitic guys, and hell no, we want to tell our story. We'd love to be able to testify to this date.
Yes, and I think it's an interesting thing to juxtapose the USS Liberty story with this current controversy surrounding Don Imus. Now,
right.
Of course, I don't approve of what Imus said clearly, but
me
he
either.
he is a part of a talk show culture and corporate media that is designed to fan the flames of a complete lack of rational thought, for number one.
Right.
And you know, there have been no curbs on many of his behaviors and antics on the air up to this point, but it also strikes at the heart of something that gets into this whole business of political correctness. Without minimizing the fact that what he said on the air the other day in regard to these female basketball players at Rutgers was clearly wrong,
How
does that compare with an act of war that was committed against the United States of America by an alleged ally on June the 8th, 1967, or the actions of the Secretary of State and the President of the United States and a few other people covering it up after the fact? We'll be back and take some callers. This is Mark Dankoff's America on RBN. Stay tuned.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by John Rankowski of the USS Liberty, talking about his role in the events of June the 8th, 1967, which we're still trying to unravel in terms of the larger meaning and context of those events as it pertains to what happened then and what is going on now. I had a caller that sent me a note during the break saying, maybe our cry should be, remember the USS Liberty, remember 9/11. That's a very fascinating idea, isn't it? We'll explore that one at a later point in the show. We've got a couple of callers. Jim in Wisconsin, you're on the line for John Rankowski. Go ahead, Jim.
Good morning. This is Jim Grafton, Wisconsin. It's the home of the USS Liberty Memorial Public Library. I'll make it real short. I'm an 11-year Navy vet, and at the time, we decided to make a memorial, which was the first memorial in the United States. I happened to be the village president, or akin to being a mayor of a community. I instantly went from being a 11-year Navy submarine veteran and private citizen to an anti-Semitic bastard. That's just one of the phrases that was passed on to me.
Jeez.
Having received daily threats to myself, my family, accused of infidelity, go down the list, you name it, it'll probably be there. I happen to come from the Navy tradition of the Mush Morton era, who was the captain of the USS Wahoo. Basically, it's someone who does not turn their back on their brothers. And their brothers, in this case, happened to be the people on the USS Liberty. If we had to do it again, we would do it again and over and over and over. The real villains in this, along with the few people in Israel that are covering up, unfortunately, are our own U.S. government, our senators, our representatives, our retired naval officers, who are afraid to speak up, to lose their social status, or in the case of elected officials, lose their office, because they are going to be, and a good example of that is a couple of representatives that were in Congress years ago, well-known Paul Finley, Pete McCluskey. They came out to defend the Liberty, and you would have thought that they had came up with a proclamation to attack Israel, because that's what they got back. The single biggest issue is the people, or the people in power in the United States, just will not recognize this fact because of their, as you hit right on the head a short time ago, the dual citizenship or dual loyalty to Israel. This is nothing against Israel. This is the fact that there are 34 dead sailors. There's 171 wounded. And the those who were not wounded, there is a psychological wound, as you know from our current war, Vietnam, and so on. So it's anytime you raise your head and talk about the USS Liberty, you best be able to duck because they're going to shoot at you.
Jim, if you can, stay on the line. I'd like to ask you a couple of follow-up questions, and John might want to do that too. Stay with us. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with John Rankowski of the USS Liberty and also Jim from Wisconsin. Stay tuned.